Good. Okay.
Got it?
I think so.
Okay.
Sounds like my voice. It's me. So, yeah. Good morning. I am Terry Brown. I count it as pure joy when I get to speak about my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It means the world to me. I never get a chance not to talk about Jesus. Seems like everywhere I go, there's always an opportunity that arises that I can speak about Jesus. And it's a joy for me to do that. And thank you so much, Pastor, for allowing me to do this. Well, here we are at day 13. And in keeping with the theme of the day, does everybody know what the theme of the day is? Thank you. I will be glad to tell you. It's called Cultivating Spiritual Hunger. It's day 13. I would like to share my testimony, if I might, on how God is doing that exact same thing in my life. He's cultivating spiritual hunger in me. I was raised a preacher's kid in a very, very strict Southern Baptist home. We went to church every day. It seemed the church doors were open, which for a young child, it seemed like Monday through Sunday. I walked down the aisle as a good Baptist child would at the 9 years old of age, accepted Jesus as my Savior, and life was good. But after a few years, a terrible, terrible thing happened. I wonder what that was. Teenagehood. I became a teenager. And from that moment on, it seemed like I didn't want to go to church anymore. I wanted to do what I wanted to do. But the fear of my father and what my father might do to me, I went to church. Is that me breathing? Okay. Let me move this out just a little bit. There you go. So I didn't abandon my faith in God. I just wanted to have some fun and do things the way I wanted to do. Does that sound familiar? Has anybody else ever had that problem? I'm sure that I'm not alone in that. So now, if we could, let's fast forward 20 years. I was finishing my PhD in heathenistic studies at PSU. That would be Prodigal Son University. I do hold a doctorate degree from Prodigal Son University, and it's an earned doctorate, I might add. So now, my life, was beginning to fall apart because of my actions. My doing what I wanted to do and live my life as I wanted to was not working out very well at this time, to say the least. I found myself in the process of going through a possible divorce. Things just couldn't become any worse for me. The thought was overwhelming that I was going to lose everything I had, wife, family, everything. What do I do now? It's interesting how if you're raised in a faith-based environment, scriptures come back to you in times of need. Well, a scripture that I'm sure my parents had prayed over me hit me like a ton of bricks. And that scripture is this. It's Proverbs 22, verse 6, and I'm sure a lot of people have heard this one. It's, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. As I soon found out, this scripture was written just for me. I went home then in this torment and agony to my father, and I expected my father to open his arms up and tell me what a wonderful son I'd been and how the world had done me wrong. But instead, it was the opposite. My father said, whatever you've done, it's your fault. You have to take responsibility for your actions. And then he told me, he said that a godly man doesn't do what you've done in the aspect of raising his children and loving his wife. And it was a knife that just stabbed me in the heart. He then gave me a little book. He said, I want you to read this, son. The title of the book was, and still is, Husbands, Love Your Wives. I went into a quiet room and I started to read this little book. And it wasn't a couple chapters into the book that the presence of the Holy Spirit just seemed to envelop me. And I knew from that second that I was wrong. It was my fault, and I had abandoned my faith in God. So I got down on my knees because I knew how to do that from prior experiences as a young person. I got down on my knees and prayed to Jesus that he would forgive me of my many, many sins, make me whole, and create a new person in me. He did that exact same thing for me. He did all this in 1983. My marriage was restored. My wife forgave me, and we started a new life together. But I had to change some things. So my first order of business was to join the church, and this would be the same church that I drove by on Sunday mornings and dropped my children off on the way to the beach. That church is Shalimar United Methodist. The next thing I needed to do was to learn as much as I could about the Bible and, of course, my Lord and Savior Jesus. So we started that process. So later that year, Cheryl and I were asked by a friend to go to a local charismatic church. And we were going to hear, a guest speaker who was billed as a prophet. I don't know how many of you guys have ever gone to a full-blown charismatic church and heard a prophet speak. I had not a clue. But to say the least, I was skeptical. My wife and I sat through this service in amazement as the prophet, and I'm going to do a little demonstration for you if I could, without tripping and falling here. So, camera people, work with me. My wife and I were sitting up on the front right here. The prophet came down like I'm doing now, and he walks into the crowd, and he starts pulling people out of the crowd. Brother, I've got a word for you. And he would say stuff out loud, and he'd go to sister, I got something for you. And I'm sitting over here, and I'm now petrified. I said, please do not come to me. The minute I had that little thought, he spun around and walked over to me and said, get up. He said, I'll never forget this. He said, brother, he said, you think this is a joke, don't you? Oh, no, not me. So after I regained consciousness, I listened to what he had to say, but it didn't sink in. He told me that the Lord had restored my marriage, had restored my life, and made me a new person. And I'm thinking, yeah, that's pretty good, because that did in fact happen. But I'm still skeptical. So he told me, he said, I've got another word for you. And that word was this. Let me not lose it. He said, God has a plan for your life to work with your hands by helping others in a manner of welding. Then he turned and walked away. Then I got to thinking, I said, I'm not a welder. I worked in aircraft avionics as a career, electronics, computers and things. And that's the furthest thing in the world for me for welding. So I said, well, it had to be just a fake, nothing to this. And so Cheryl and I went home. Now, I'd completely forgotten about this. 10 years later, I was blessed to go on a mission trip with this church to Costa Rica. We were to build a metal building, like a Butler building, the ones that, like an erector set, and they're welded in certain places. The pastor came up to us and said that the welder had been hurt, sick, and he couldn't climb up on the scaffolding to do any welding. I didn't think too much of it. So the pastor said the welder is going to teach some of you guys, the younger guys. At that time, I was halfway younger. And he said that we'll give you a little lesson. I'm thinking, how do I get a lesson and then go well? But I'm game. I'll do that. So I had my little lesson. With much trepidation, I climbed up the scaffolding and started to weld. It was like the sky, my heart, everything opened up immediately. And I remembered that prophecy 10 years or previously that said, you're going to work in a matter of welding, helping others. My knees got weak. I got shaky. And of course, the tears are just jumping out of my eyes. I said, God is, and the Lord Jesus is real in my life. He does care what happens to me. So I did a little welding, and I prayed to the Lord that whatever I did weld is still holding today, because it was not that much. So anyway. Now, 2 weeks ago, I was preparing for my 8th surgery. I've got osteoarthritis, and I'm an equal opportunity employer with physicians, and I keep business going. And I had gone to a Sunday school class, and as customary for our Sunday school class, we have prayer at the end of class. And go around the room asking for prayer. And I raised my hand and said, I'm going to have some surgery. Could you please pray for me that the surgery might be a success? But my biggest concern in prayer was that God would use my surgery to glorify Him. That is and always will be my heart's desire. Excuse me. So now let me give you a little background on how we got there from here. I had gone to my physician for, I had extreme pain in this wrist, and he allowed me to get an MRI and a CT scan and all those neat little words that I'm not very familiar with. So I got my test and went back up to his office, and I'm sitting there waiting on him. He comes in and reads the MRI, and he goes, oh my God, and that's not the word you want to hear when the doctor's coming to see you. And he said, you have the largest tumor in your bone that I've seen in 20 years of medical practice. Somehow that didn't register to me at all. I said, yeah, but doc, I said, I need to get my knees fixed because my knees hurt pretty bad. And he said, Terry, he didn't shake me, but we had eye contact. And he said, this is very serious. You've got to get this fixed. And I said, yeah, but are these tumors normally benign? And I'm asking, but I'm still not listening. It's still not registering what he's trying to say to me. It didn't strike home to me till the surgical nurse walks in and said, Mr. Brown, we've got your surgery scheduled for next Wednesday. And I shuddered, and I said, oh my goodness, this is serious. Get this done. I prayed for guidance on what to do. I was very torn on how I was going to approach this. And it was interesting how God works. I read my little pre-surgical pamphlet that you get, paper, and it said that the surgery site that you're supposed to get fixed put the word yes on it. I said, well, that's okay. So I could put a yes on there. But God spoke to me and said, I'd like you to put a scripture on there, and we'll see how that goes. So I'm praying. I said, well, what kind of scripture do you write on your hand before surgery? The Lord gave me this scripture. It's taken from Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 14. It says this, heal me, Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved, for you are the one I praised. So I wrote that on my hand. Now, I'm going in for surgery. The anesthesiologist comes in, and he's getting ready to administer my nerve block to get me started. And he looks at my hand, and he says, I know a lot of scriptures, but I've never heard that one before. What does it say? And I started to talk, and he said, well, share it with the room. So I got to share that scripture, and I said it out loud, heal me, Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, Lord, and I will be saved, for you are the one I praised. The next thing I remember, I'm in the recovery room, and Cheryl, my wife, comes in and said, told me that the doctor had spoken with her, the surgery went very well, and you had no tumor, just an arthritic bone, which they removed. Through the 35 years of my Christian journey, there is a single verse that sums up my life in Christ. I'd like to share it with you if I might. But I do it a little different sometimes than you might have heard. I like to insert my name in that verse, because when I put my name in that verse, it makes it much more personable and personal to me. Let me share that verse if I could. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. This is how I see it. Terry has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer Terry who lives, but Christ who lives in him. In the life Terry now lives in the flesh, he lives by faith in the Son of God, who loved him and gave himself for Terry. Thank you, Jesus.